You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I miss the days when basketball was a contact sport, when not every single player was complaining about not getting a foul called.
LAPD was called.
LAPD was called.
OMG, and I don't even say that. I am so tired of seeing rookies complain about not getting a call.
You cannot be serious.
I remember when only captains were allowed to speak to officials, and now can you just shut up and play basketball?
Cause your mama raised you better than that.
Have you lost your mind?
Open this up. Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
How you doing with that trivia question? If you guys could see how hard Brian is working on the 8 NFL teams that have not made the playoffs in the last 3 years. And I see your Facebook posts. We now have a spot up on our Facebook page where you can answer the question. I'm really proud of you for not Googling it. Don't cheat. Just do it based on your history and your memories. And then maybe recognize how hard it is to call up the playoff picture from 3 years ago. When the next time I make a mistake and get my dates wrong over something in sports, you can remember. It's not as easy to keep all your sports memories straight, is it? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Good to talk to my friend Mike in Seattle from Channel 4. And it just happened to be the perfect storm with the NHL awarding its 32nd franchise, the expansion to the Pacific Northwest. And the numbers, it said 33,000 people in, 12 minutes deciding that they must have tickets. And another a few thousand people on the wait list. He sent me a text and was joking they're going to have to play at CenturyLink Field. But who doesn't love outdoor hockey? I mean, I think that's one of the best things that the NHL does every year is their outdoor series. And then, of course, the Seahawks, who right now are all the rage, the 12s, and this may be one of Pete Carroll's best coaching jobs. And so they are going into week 15 on a short week, and they will take on their once rival, the San Francisco 49ers, for the second time in 3 weeks. So kind of odd the way it works out, but the NFL in recent years has made a concerted effort to backload divisional matchups at the end of the season. So here we are in the last month, and you'll see more of these divisional matchups amongst teams. And for the Seahawks, essentially what they need to do is win one of their last three games, and they should. It should play out this way, that they lock up a wild card spot. They cannot be the NFC West division champs because the Rams have already won that title. And so the highest seed the Seahawks can be is a 5. But better to be a 5 than to be a 6. And we'll see what happens. They certainly do have a team because of the defense and the run game that will travel well. And that is something they focused on more and more over the course of this 4-game win streak is ball control and the run game. Though until this past week, Russell Wilson was also playing really well from the pocket. So that's one of our games in week 15, Seattle at San Francisco. Believe it or not, there's only a handful of teams that have been completely and utterly eliminated from the postseason in 2018. If you haven't read my column, I had fun putting it together. It was good for me because it forced me to do a lot of research. So it's a playoff primer in these last 3 weeks. I know we're all busy getting ready for Christmas and the holidays. And I mean, we're not even 3 weeks from the end of the new year. So this time in 3 weeks, we'll be into 2019 and New Year's Day will be behind us. And so it was fun to put this together for you, but it also helped me prepare for what is essentially this home stretch of the NFL regular season. And so I answered questions like, who's poised to go worst to first. Because every year, we have teams that go from the basement of their division to winning their division title. And in the case of the Philadelphia Eagles, last year they went from worst to first to Super Bowl champion with a backup quarterback. I don't know if we're going to get a story that will top that one. That is a really steep mountain to climb. It was an incredible story last year. And I have to tell you, I enjoyed so much reading over your tweets and your Facebook posts. And of course, I took a bunch of phone calls about the best championship story of 2018. And it pretty much turned out to be a tie between the Eagles and the Capitals. So both of them first-time winners in their franchise history, both with long-suffering fan bases. And yes, the Eagles gave us this perfect movie script. The kind of stuff that you can't make up. It worked out so perfectly for sports fans, and it was a magical run for Philadelphia and for the NFL to have that particular ending to their story. So where are we going to get that magic in 2018? And obviously we'll be into 19 by the time we reach the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Last year we had some fresh blood, which was one of my favorite things about the NFL postseason. We had Bills, Titans, Jaguars all ending long postseason droughts. Which of the latest or the current postseason droughts are in serious danger? That's something else I covered in my column. So I hope that you'll read it. It's pinned to the top of our Twitter page, A-Law Radio. Everything you need to know about the NFL's dash to the finish line. I even gave you a couple of Cinderella stories. So if your team's not in it, or maybe you don't have a team, it's a good chance to hitch your wagon to a potential star. Even though, again, we don't know how this is going to play out. There are only three teams that have clinched playoff spots. Only two of the eight division titles have actually been locked up. So there's so much that's up in the air. But there are some very cool possibilities through the rest of 2018 and then going into the postseason, which is January is one of my favorite months of the year because of what we get on the NFL stage and also the college football playoff championship. The semifinals this year on December 29th, but then we'll get the championship game early in 2019. So you can find me on Twitter and my column, A-Law Radio, and a lot of you are still sending me your answers to our Nerd Alert, our trivia question. Who are the eight teams in the NFL who have not made the playoffs in the last 3 years? Dave is with us tonight, and he put a spot up on our Facebook page, too. I mean, you're just spraying our entire Facebook page with your answers, but I hope that you'll check out the column, too. That's pinned to the top of our Facebook page. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Now, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll do some QB news. We'll give you what I think is a pretty stunning, well, stunning might be overstating it. I think it's a surprise quarterback change. I understand it from both a practical and business sense, but I also, it's stunning to consider the body of work and think, wow, there's a QB change. And so that's one that we'll do. And then also we have an injured quarterback that could affect a team that still is keeping postseason hopes alive. So we'll do some QB news. And we'll hear from the two quarterbacks who will be on the field Thursday night with just what I hope is a game that lives up to the hype between the only two teams in the AFC that are in double-figure wins. They're in the same division. The West will pit the Chiefs and the Chargers at Arrowhead. Can you imagine? That atmosphere is going to be lit. Does it sound weird when I say that? If I said that in front of my nieces, they would they'd hide their faces. Auntie Amy, do not say that. That's embarrassing. Oh, my gosh. I love my nieces. I run all my my cool phrases by them. And usually I get the thumbs down or the rolling of the eyes, which makes me say it more, of course, because if it makes my nieces cringe, then it sounds great on the radio. So we'll talk about week 15 and some of the QB news we've got coming up in 10 minutes. But I want to hit the latest in baseball's hot stove. And we started this with Mike Ferrari just before the top of the hour. This is crazy for Seattle, but it's a reality for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball, especially if you're thinking about the American League and some of the powerhouses, the Rangers and the Red Sox and the way the Yankees have put a team together. And those are just a couple of examples. Cleveland has been really good over the last couple of years. And so you've got teams around Major League Baseball who are reacting and thinking, we can't possibly compete, so we might as well tear it up and start fresh. Here is what Seattle has lost so far. This is just a smattering of what Seattle has lost so far. Ace James Paxton, their all-star closer Edwin Diaz. Of course, they were anxious to get rid of Robinson Cano and Juan Segura. And then their catcher, Mike Zunino, as well. I mean, they've kind of gutted their core that had any veterans in it. And they've made six trades overall. So they've been very active. But it's been hard, I think, for their fans to see and to watch. Now, the moves that have been made in baseball's hot stove over the course of the last 24 hours, you end up seeing a few pitcher dominoes fall. And one of those, I think, is really interesting, seeing Charlie Morton reportedly ending up with the Tampa Bay Rays. They're kind of a fringe team, almost like a fringe cult movement. They are a team that you kind of dismiss because not so much the smaller market in terms of city size, but the smaller market mentality. The ownership does not want to spend a lot of money. What they try to do is work that farm system, which, let's face it, they generate amazing young pitchers at such an alarming rate. And then they get to the point where they're going to earn money and they ship them out. So I think it's kind of cool that they are going to spend money on Charlie Morton and that they're going to invest in a pitcher that they think can bolster their rotation, as opposed to just bringing up another young guy, hoping that he catches fire. And then when he's going to cost the money, well, let's trade him somewhere so we can get something in return and we can bring up another young arm. Reported 2 years and $30 million for Charlie Morton in Tampa. And I thought it was kind of cool to think about the prospects for the Rays. Now, I don't know. Sometimes I would say they were a surprise team in 2018 for sure. They didn't end up making the playoffs, but they finished a lot better than what a lot of people expected. Again, they maintain a quiet profile. They fly under the radar, but they're dangerous if you overlook them. So can they now make a team that will contend in 2019, but also put some building blocks in place for the future?
Well, it's been active. I think that's no surprise. We came into this with a mindset of not wanting to sell short how we got here, how we got to where we got last season, where we gave opportunity to young players, to unproven players, let them establish themselves. By and large, we were really rewarded for that faith in them. And so we don't want to deviate from that. But at the same time, we think this is a group that has a chance to go to the postseason, chance to compete in our division, and we're also very aggressive looking for different ways we can upgrade and support the group.
So I like it. That's Shane Bloom and talking about the mentality, which is, okay, we got some surprise contributions. They actually finished with 90 wins last year. They were third in the AL East, of course, because the Red Sox and Yankees set such a torrid pace throughout the course of the season. And, of course, that's where the World Series champs come from, that same division. But 90 wins? 90 wins for the Tampa Bay Rays. And probably around the country, amongst most baseball fans, they couldn't even tell you the starting lineup. Could you go around the horn and tell me who the Rays had in their infield last year or who they had in their starting rotation? Maybe not. And so the way that they train these guys and bring them up, the farm system's really impressive. And to add Charlie Morton, I think it may not feel like a huge step for, say, one of the teams that's a big spender, a perennial big spender in Major League Baseball. But this is a big deal for the Rays because Morton, in a market where there aren't a lot of big-name free agent pitchers, let's be honest. Now, we're not talking about Noah Syndergaard. We're not talking about guys who could move in a trade. We're talking about free agent guys. And Patrick Corbin was really the top of that list. So here's Morton, who was 15-3 for the Astros last year. And he actually had the highest winning percentage in baseball, which I didn't realize until I was reading about him. He was an all-star for the first time. Now he's a little older, but he could bring some stability to that rotation. He actually just turned 35, but he was there and he was part of that World Series team. You remember how incredible it was. He was on the mound for the final four innings of Game 7 in the World Series on the road in Los Angeles. So talk about bringing the experience to the Rays. That's huge. We'll see if it pans out. Will he go back to average Charlie Morton the way he was before those years with the Rangers, or will he be able to continue that and kind of be a late bloomer, so to speak? So he's a journeyman for sure. He's been in Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Houston, and now Tampa. But man, if someone's going to offer me 2 years and $30 million, sign me up. I'll relocate. That's all I do for my career anyway, is relocate. So that's one of the pieces that the dominoes that dropped in the winter meetings in Vegas, reportedly. And there are some other pieces of news as well. I just saw this on Twitter being reported from MLB Network Insider. Let's see, John Heyman and also Ken Rosenthal, that you've got Jeurys Familia, who was with the Mets, got traded at the deadline to Oakland, but is now going back to New York, and he is going to sign a free agent deal and return to New York. So it's kind of weird. It's like it reminds me of the Aroldis Chapman arc, where he got traded to Chicago, helped them win a World Series, and then went back to the Yankees. Not obviously the same success for the Oakland A's last season, but interesting that Familia will go back to New York. And also, this one coming in the last few minutes from John Morosi, who is with MLB Network, that Joe Kelly has a 3-year deal with the Dodgers for $25 million. So there's another pitching domino. Feels like Wednesday, hump day, was all about the pitchers getting paid and the pitchers moving from coast to coast, so to speak. So yeah, Dodgers with Joe Kelly and Jeurys Familia returning to the New York Mets after a few months away. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. We will get to your calls. I love your trivia answers. The 8 teams in the NFL who did not make the playoffs in the last 3 seasons. You can find me at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. There's a, look for the giant question marks. There's a spot where you can answer. And straight ahead, some of the answers you seek for quarterbacks. We've got QB news for Week 15. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Fade right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun has time. Guns it down the middle, and he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the 2. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Everyone I see in the newsroom and here in the studio, I am springing our trivia question on them. And I'm telling you, it's tying people up in knots, but I love it. Who are the 8 NFL teams who have not made the playoffs in the last 3 years? Here, I'm going to give you one of them. Baltimore is one of them, which is why there is so much riding on this upcoming 3-week stretch and then potentially the playoffs. So the future of the Ravens, as you know it right now, is hanging in the balance. And in light of that, the Ravens have made a critical decision at quarterback. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter and answer on my account, A-Law Radio, or our show account, After Hours CBS, and the Facebook page, also named after the show. John Harbaugh announcing that the Ravens will stick with the rookie, Lamar Jackson, under center. Now, remember, he won his first 3 games, 2 at home, 1 on the road in Atlanta, and then the Ravens lost in overtime against the Chiefs in his 4th start. But all of that was with Joe Flacco sidelined by a hip injury that he suffered in Week 9. Now that Flacco has been completely cleared, he is healthy, he can go. John Harbaugh says they are staying with the rookie Lamar Jackson. And he texted Flacco on Wednesday, asked him to come up to his office, and broke the news to him. And as you can imagine, this is a tough pill to swallow for Joe.
Well, I didn't have much of a reaction. I mean, John talked to him yesterday up in his office. And, I guess my overall thought about it is obviously disappointed that, you know, I can't be part of this team in the same capacity that I have been for a long time. But, always got to be ready and stay sharp and be ready for the call at any point.
This is a decided shift in the 11 seasons that Harbaugh and Flacco have spent working together in Baltimore. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to 3 AFC championship games. And over the course of those 11 years, there's only been one losing season. Flacco has never missed a game in which he has been healthy. Now, there's been a knee injury, of course. There have been some injuries that have kept him out over the last few years. But he's never not been the starter when he has been healthy. But according to Harbaugh, right now, the rookie Lamar Jackson gives them the best option to win. And if you think about what's been behind their surge toward the top of the AFC North, they're only a half game behind the Steelers right now. It's most important to consider the ball control. That's what's so important. Yes, Lamar Jackson runs the ball too much and needs to stop doing this. But what it does is it allows the Ravens to keep the ball away from their opponent. It also gives that defense fresh legs. They're not on the field nearly as much. But was this awkward? Here's a rookie, Heisman Trophy winner, yes, an accomplished rookie. But Lamar Jackson finding out that he's going to be in the quarterback room with a veteran who just got benched. Is that weird?
Joe's still part of the team. You know, it's his team still, just like it's mine. You know, it's all of our team. We brothers. You know, we're here together each and every day. You know, we've been here since camp, putting our life on the line. You know, it's still his team, man. Ain't nothing changed.
It's a good recovery. But I like the part at the beginning. No, not awkward at all. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Carson Wentz is not getting benched. Instead, he may not be able to play through the rest of the season. Ian Rappaport actually saying that the problems he's having right now with his back, they could keep him out the rest of the way. Certainly a concern as they are just below 500, but not out of the playoff conversation. And Doug Peterson, yes, he's got a backup in Nick Foles, but it's not the same as having your athletic star QB who had looked like he was finally settling into a groove.
Carson has a little bit of back soreness, a little tightness, and so we're going to rest him, continue to evaluate him, and just make sure he's good.
Now, they are hoping that with treatment and with a little bit of rest that Carson will be able to play before the season is up. But talk about red flags and bright yellow lights going off. Caution. When you hear from some NFL insiders that he may be out the rest of the year. So back soreness and tightness. And right now, Wentz is considered a no-go Sunday against the Rams. We'll see. Hopefully, as a young athlete with treatment, there's so much amazing technology in the way that athletes can get treatment these days, literally around the clock. But backs are difficult because there's nothing you can do without using your back. Back injuries have sidelined and crippled a lot of professional athletes. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Looking ahead to week 15, we start off with a doozy. And you want to talk about quarterbacks from opposite ends of the spectrum. This is pretty amazing. First, you get Patrick Mahomes, who right now is sitting on, 43 touchdown passes for the season with 3 weeks to go. He's the front runner for the MVP. Arrowhead crowd behind him. They've already clinched the AFC, or no, they've already clinched a playoff spot. They're hoping to win the AFC West, but they have to keep the Chargers at bay. Phillip Rivers, 37 years old, having one of his best seasons, and he still recognizes that a game like this in prime time is why you play.
These are the ones you dream about when you're little. These are the ones you talk about in the offseason, having a chance to play, to keep your division champ hopes alive and to, you know, get your spot in the postseason.
The Chargers are one of the only two teams, along with the Chiefs, who have double-figure wins in the AFC. But similar to the Seahawks' plight in the NFC West, if the Chargers don't win that division title, and right now they're a game back, well, then they will be relegated to the 5 seed and have to play on the road wild card weekend. It's not optimal, but you know what? That's why you win your division. This wild card setup, it's going back to 2002 when they went to 2 wild cards. This is how it's been, and the NFL wants there to be a premium on winning your division. Patrick Mahomes has turned into must-see TV. He puts on a show. Think about it, those awkward across-the-body chucks that go back across the field to a streaking receiver. Sometimes his eyes are closed. Sometimes he throws with his left hand. He's so athletic. And who knows how the throw gets on the money. But man alive, the idea of him throwing those no-look passes, you would think that it would put the fear of God in his coach. But instead, Andy Reid is along for the ride.
He's comfortable doing it. I mean, this is the NFL, and he's doing it. So, I mean, that's... it's something to do it in practice, but then you start throwing it in a game, and then a game against the number one defense in the National Football League, that's a little different. You got to have a tremendous confidence in what you're doing there.
Patrick's having a heck of a season. He was, you know, he's a good talent. When they brought him in, that's why they moved up in the draft to go get him. He's done nothing but prove them right. And he's getting better, it seems like, every game. His confidence right now is at an all-time high.
And what, he's played 14 games? 14 games in the NFL as a starter, and his confidence is at an all-time high. I guess so. I love that Andy Reid is just rolling with the punches. He's probably having the time of his life as the head coach, even though there are some concerning injuries for the Chiefs. Sammy Watkins is out, so they will not have one of their wide receivers. And Spencer Ware may miss this game as well. So think about it. No Kareem Hunt, no Spencer Ware. Tyreek Hill becomes of the utmost importance. That's the Week 15 game, and you hear both Andy Reid and Anthony Lynn, whose Chargers defense has to game plan for Pat Mahomes. He is susceptible to interceptions, okay? So you're going to have that because there's high risk. There's high reward, but there's high risk with the way that he plays. So I'm so excited about Thursday night. Of course, we'll be here Thursday night after the game to talk about it and to look ahead to the rest of Week 15. Coming up, we've got breaking news again from the hot stove in Vegas, the winter meetings in Major League Baseball, and we'll take some of your calls. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here's the 3-2. Curveball driven in the air to deep right center field. This one way, way back there. Is it high enough? It is gone. Bryce Harper on the 10th pitch of his at-bat hits his 29th home run of the season.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a power surge without the average for Bryce Harper in 2018 until they got to the second half of the year, and then he saw his average start to creep up. I don't think that's going to take away from his earnings power, but what do I know? Charlie Slows with the call on the Nationals radio network. According to Davey Martinez, the Nationals' door is still open for Bryce Harper if he wants to walk back through it. I don't know how likely that is, but I do know that the Nationals are not slamming that door in the face of Bryce Harper or Scott Boras. Scott Boras was holding court like Santa Claus at the mall on Wednesday in Las Vegas. You'll hear from him coming up. Of course, he's very cryptic, but at the same time, able to sell his client, make him sound like the guy who can change the fortunes of your franchise. And I would say he is the most attractive name out there. No doubt he's a franchise player, but one guy can't do it alone. Because if he could, well, then the Nationals wouldn't have underachieved the last several years. It's a team sport, and they just have not been able to put it all together at the same time. So maybe that's why they're not going to overpay for him and overbid. And Harper right now is still in the decision-making process, as is Manny Machado, who is beginning his team visits very shortly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We have breaking news from the winter meetings in Vegas. The Dodgers have agreed to a free agent deal with right-handed reliever Joe Kelly, 3 years, $25 million. That just happened in the last hour, and it's being confirmed by multiple baseball reporters and insiders. Kelly still has to pass a physical, but this is a huge deal for the Dodgers. If you remember, I know they got back to the World Series, but it was a rocky road for them, and they've been looking for that guy who could hand the ball to Kenley Jansen. They've been looking for the strong setup guy who would bridge the gap from starter or middle reliever. Look, maybe an seventh and eighth inning guy, and Joe Kelly can fill that for them. And this is a pretty, I don't want to call it a bargain price, but a reasonable price by Major League Baseball standards, 3 years, $25 million for Joe Kelly, who's coming off a really solid postseason with the Red Sox. He only allowed one earned run in 11 and a third innings in the playoffs. And against the Dodgers in the World Series, they had a front row seat to watch him pitch. He did not allow a run in the six innings that he pitched during the Fall Classic against the Dodgers. He's only 30 years old. And he was in Boston for 4 years. Before that, he was with the Cardinals. And so you're talking about some really iconic teams, some iconic jerseys that he will wear, from St. Louis to Boston, where he's got a World Series ring, and now to the Dodgers. So if you can't beat him, join him. No. It would only work for the Dodgers. You go out and get the guy that hurt you so badly because he made such an impression on you. Also, Jeurys Familia is rejoining the New York Mets with a free agent deal. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, brought to you by Geico, with a quick way to save money. If you need homeowners, renter's insurance, or motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, you can get it all, package it up at geico.com. Before I let you hear from Scott Boras and what may be my favorite soundbite ever from Brian Cashman, you'll understand why in a moment. Let's take this call from Rick, who's listening in Baltimore. Rick, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good talking to you again, Amy.
Thank you.
I want to touch on a couple things. You said something about the Seattle. My brother-in-law and sister just got married. They live in Washington State. Mm-hmm. And Joe is he's kind of an avid fan with Seattle. He met Pete Carroll and had a picture taken, and I'm kind of following them a little bit myself. Another thing I wanted to say was, you mentioned the NBA. I've always been, outside of a Wizard fan and a Baltimore Bullet fan, I've always been a Celtic fan. John Havlicek was my favorite player, and as a matter of fact, if you want to use this as a trivia note, he played at Ohio State. They call him Hondo. Mm-hmm. He was 6'5". Number 17, and he was also drafted by the Cleveland Browns as a tight end. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know the other information, just not the part about the Cleveland Browns. That's cool.
Yeah, and I want to go to, obviously, the Sunday game. I'm going to watch the game tonight if I can, time permitting. Joe's going to have to sit. He's going to be second string. That's okay. I just want to win this game Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised if he, makes an appearance.
When would he make an appearance?
I don't know. Lamar's going to start, and it's pretty much clear that he's cleared to play, and he's second string, and then RG3 is going to be third string behind Flacco.
Right. I don't know that, unless it's some kind of a crazy blowout, that you would bring Joe Flacco in. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, that kind of undermines your rookie. And why? Yeah. Unless Jackson gets hurt, there'd be no other reason to make a QB change.
No, I'm not thinking that Jackson's going to get hurt, but I get nervous when he's running around.
Sure. No, there's always the possibility.
Yeah, but I'm excited about it.
Good.
Two out of three at least. San Diego, I call him San Diego. I keep forgetting. I don't expect to beat the Chargers, really.
All right.
It's not going to be the end of the world, Let me put it that way. I just want two out of three wins. I want to get in the playoffs. There are going to be a lot of upset people here in the Ravens Nation if we don't make it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely competition. I think actually the best bet for the Ravens would be just to go ahead and win that division against, to make sure they take it and not leave it for, up for grabs with the mad smash of teams that are trying to get that wild card behind either the Chiefs or Chargers. I'm just saying, leave no room for doubt. If you can catch the Steelers, do it. They're only a half game back. So we'll see. The Steelers obviously have a difficult matchup, even though it's at Heinz Field. It's a difficult matchup with the Patriots this weekend. So if the Patriots win and the Ravens win, then you're talking about a change at the top.
Yeah, I think it's process of elimination. All we got to do is win Sunday. But you said you're a bad loser. At this point, I'm not a good loser. Yeah, I'm.
I was referring to gambling. That's why I don't gamble, because I'm not prepared to lose.
Yeah, I don't gamble either. It's too much. I got rid of the alcohol. I got 4 years sober. I don't need another.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's good to talk to you, Rick. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you.
Rick, listening in Baltimore. I know we have a big-time audience in Baltimore. Always good to hear from our fans of the Ravens. And I'd love to hear your response to the change officially. I know it was because of injury before, but the change officially from the guy who has been the staple. As much as Ravens fans have complained about Joe Flacco a lot, and I know because I've heard from you, but he's been a staple. And he and John Harbaugh have won a lot of games together. Do you know the 106 victories that Harbaugh and Flacco have together? That includes postseason with a Super Bowl. That's fourth among coach quarterback combinations since 2008. So Belichick and Brady, Tomlin and Roethlisberger, McCarthy and Rodgers, and obviously McCarthy is done now, at least in Green Bay. And then it's Harbaugh and Flacco. We're talking about more than a decade of success. And so this had to be difficult for John Harbaugh. But to make the move, you have to recognize, A, we're playing some of our best football of the season right now. B, our best chance to win is to control the ball and keep our defense fresh by giving them extra time on the bench. And also, Harbaugh has to know the writing is on the wall. If they do not make the playoffs this year, they're one of the teams that has not made the playoffs in the last 3 years, one of the eight NFL teams that I've been asking you about as our trivia question. If they don't make the playoffs this year, Harbaugh has to know there's a really good chance he loses his job. And so it's a not only a smart decision because of the football they're playing at this point in the season, but also it's a smart business decision. If you're John Harbaugh, you need to win so that you can keep your job. Now, I don't know that making the postseason guarantees that Harbaugh will remain the coach of the Ravens, but I do know that there's got to be that element to it. At this point, you have to throw loyalty out the window because your job is on the line.
Give me a good question, I'll answer.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so Scott Boras, if you haven't seen the picture of him holding court like Santa Claus at the mall, it's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. So check that picture out. Pretty incredible atmosphere around Boras when he made an appearance in Las Vegas. And he is talking about Bryce Harper, obviously represents him, but how this could be a slow burn because Harper's got all these options in front of him and he's going to consider and choose carefully.
Bryce is really open to the geography. What he's really looking for is the ownership to make sure that he has every opportunity to achieve his goals, to win a world championship, to play on competitive teams as best as baseball teams can be competitive annually and all those things. So it's and obviously there's a lot of owners who believe their franchises can do that.
Sure, there's a lot of owners out there who are going to make this pitch to Bryce Harper and his camp, which includes his agent Scott Boras, and say, here's why this is the best spot for you. I like what he had to say, though, about the geography being wide open for Harper. He's not going to limit himself based on a particular team or city, so Boras says. And also, as you can imagine, you want an agent who sells you. Harper in his prime is worth what?
I think whenever owners and players get in discussions of valuations and what's good business, that's going to really determine his stature in the game. And so all of that's, yet to be determined. And I'm sure that as we go through it, that everyone recognizes who Bryce is and what he means to the team. And the real difference is that he's a generational player. He offers premium years that you don't normally get in a free agent contract.
So Scott Boras is doing his work. He's holding court in Vegas. He's answering questions without telling you a whole lot. And he's going to allow the market to dictate. Last thing, guess what? Brian Cashman dropped a Star Wars reference about the Yankees on Wednesday.
If something doesn't make sense today, doesn't mean it won't make sense tomorrow. And so, all I can keep telling you is, that where my current focuses are. But at the same time, we're a fully operational Death Star.
Yes! Yes, Brian Cashman! It's a direct quote for the movies. This Death Star is fully operational. I love it so much. So good. Anyway, that makes Brian Cashman up in the list of guys who have street cred in sports in my book. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.